praise him in the firmament of his power. We have an opportunity right here, right now, to give God praise. We're going to hear the word of the Lord in a few minutes. We get to praise God in the sanctuary. We get to facilitate an atmosphere for him to move in a mighty way. We get to hear the word of the Lord. In Acts 10:44, it says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. God is a God that doesn't just show up. He's a God that shows up to move and does something. I'm anticipating for God to be here, to move, to breathe. If we could just worship God, lift our hands and our hearts to him and anticipate. Lord, we welcome you in this place, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. You're worthy of all praise, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord. May your word move in power in this place in the next few minutes, Lord. Hallelujah. Our hearts are open and receptive to you, Lord. May we respond to you and your word as it falls upon us in this place in Jesus' name. Let's worship the Lord together in anticipation for what he's going to do in this place.
Of him and touching earth. Thank you. Thank you. heal my body, heal my soul. Jordan stream, stepped in the water. The water was cold, it chilled my body, but not my soul.
I've got the river
of living water.
I've got the river
of living water.
I've got the river
of living water. He's good. He's good. He's good.
Says in all manner of conversation. That means everything I do, where I go, how I live, the way I talk, my attitude, everything about me, I want to point to Jesus Christ. He is my hero. He is my Savior. He is the one I want to emulate. Feels good to be in the house of the Lord. Feels real good to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Stated earlier, my wife and I did not have the opportunity to be here in service with you last week. We were probably in the second best place you could be. Some of y'all get that. We thank you so much, all of you that, as it's always been, we have no inhibitions at all about going, and you know, it was our 15-year wedding anniversary, and so my wife's always one. She's had something on her bucket list for years, and we were able to make that possible and just spend a few days in another country where we felt completely safe and just had a wonderful time together. But we heard that you guys had a wonderful time here in the presence of the Lord. We rejoice with you as videos were sent to us, and we were able to rejoice in what God did in service last week. We're looking forward to what God's going to do here in just a few moments. So good to have in service with us Andrea Williford. She is the significant other of Brother Tom. If you don't know this, it's now Facebook official, so it's okay. They have, you know, put it on Facebook, so now, you know, it's not a secret anymore. But he's been to St. Louis a few times, and now this is her first time here, and so I told her last night she has a few more to make up to come this way. But just so good to have her in service with us this morning. And if you notice that Brother Tom's smile was a little bit brighter this morning, a little bit wider this morning, a little bit of bounce in his step, you know.
I'm going to embarrass them a little bit, but that's just what I can do. They were at our home last night, and we were visiting, and they were talking about, you know, the hours they spend together on the phone, and this, oh, you hang up. No, you hang up. No, you hang up. You hang up. And my wife and I looked at each other like, yep, we remember that. Way back then, we remember that. But sorry, I didn't mean to embarrass you, but you're doing pretty good. The top of his head is not red yet. It's creeping up, but it's all good. But so good to have you in service with us. So good to have everybody. So good to be here. Good to be in the presence of the Lord. Good to have Brother and Sister Johnson with us. And we just want them to come and take their liberty. From the moment I met him in the halls of whatever that place was we were at North American Youth Congress, America's Dome at the center of whatever. It has a pretty long name. But just what a wonderful spirit, what a wonderful couple. And we're just delighted that they are here, and we want them to come and just take their liberty. I told him, I said, once I turn the mic over to you, man, it's all yours. Just do whatever you feel led of God. He's like, well, my wife has a puppet show. I was like, that's fine. I mean, he's like, we'll bring a stage and set it up. I was like, hey, we'll accommodate. We'll move the platform, pulpit, whatever you need. But we just want him to come. Why don't you rise to your feet, and why don't you give acclamation to the man of God as he comes and take this pulpit. Brother Johnson, so good.
Why don't we give that glory to God right now? He's worthy of it. Come on, he's worthy of a hand clap of praise. He's worthy of a little bit of honor and a little bit of glory today. Amen. 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 You may be seated. It's good to be here today with you. I'm going to ask my wife to come. You can transition. You guys will do it seamlessly. See, this is perfect. Yeah. As she gets ready, I do want to say, I mentioned it this morning in the Sunday school class, but my wife and I feel so loved just being here the last couple of Sundays, just privileged and honored to be here with you guys. I had the opportunity, as Brother Wells said, to meet him at Youth Congress, and the things that he said, the things that Pastor Brosom has said, the things that Isaac Montalvo, who's come here and spoken, he's a good friend of mine, have said, just everything they said was true. You guys are a loving people. You guys are a good people. It's just, we feel comfortable being here. So give yourselves some honor. It's a welcoming place. I give honor to Brother and Sister Wells. I mean, drums, singing as well. The microphone, I can't walk and chew gum at the same time, much less drumming and having a microphone. Just awesome. Just heard so many great things about them and have only had a chance to meet them a couple times. But I think they're worthy of honor, everything they've done here. My wife and I loved getting to meet everybody, and we quizzed each other on the way home of names and faces, and we quizzed each other on the way here. There's many. Come on, we go way back. You're a cousin, well, a family of people from our church. Brother Kellum, I found that out, of the Pierces, of Ellen. My wife and I were sure. There were a few names we were iffy on. There was one name that we were sure on, and that was Brother Al. A new Brother Al. There's some names, most names we were pretty good on, but I knew Brother Al. But thank you to Sister Christy for the salsa. The only issue with the salsa was that we only had one bag of chips at home. That was the worst thing. And actually, my wife told me one day, I think Thursday, after we had already burned through that bag of chips in about 2 days, my wife had resorted to using salt and vinegar chips because that's all we had, which, in my mind, not going to be that tasty, but hey, whatever it takes to get, whatever the vehicle is to get the salsa, yeah, drink it perhaps, whatever it takes. But we've enjoyed our time, and I said it last week, but I do want to say it again. We're here for one purpose, and that's just for God to move in this service. Nothing else, we're not worried about anything else. God's in control. So we've already done it today. We've already worshiped, and I believe God has a special plan and a special anointing for this service. And so we want to be open to what God wants to do today. Amen? Amen. I'm going to ask my wife if she'd like to sing whatever the Lord has laid on her heart. She won't sing.
Praise the Lord. I know. So sorry, I've got bad news. I didn't bring my puppets with me this time. I'm resorting to playing and singing for you again. Sorry about that. And if you're ever in need of eating salsa, it's not so bad with salt and vinegar chips. Just so you know. If you're in a pinch and you're really hungry. Not the best, but it works. Grateful to be here with you. Like my husband already said, I feel the presence of the Lord in this place, and I'm so thankful for what we feel. I was thinking as I was standing here worshiping, and when my husband was talking this morning, how when my daughter was a few months old, the pacifier fell out of her mouth in the back seat when she was asleep, and when she woke up, she was just distraught that the pacifier had fallen out of her mouth, so she started really crying. We were like in a drive-thru, and I'm like, oh, everything's fine, trying to make it better, and you know, in a panic. So she wouldn't open her eyes to look at me, and I just kept saying, baby girl, if you just open your eyes, I have what you're looking for. And I felt the Lord just really speak to me in that moment, that we often do that with him, that he's standing before us. I have what you're looking for. I have what you're seeking. I'm in the house. And the answer today is in the house, because Jesus is in the house. He is the answer for whatever you are facing and whatever you have need of. I'm going to sing again this morning. And like I said last week, I just want you to worship with me. This is an atmosphere of worship this morning. Not of watch me, but of praise the Lord with me. Because he is good and his mercy endureth forever.
Thank you.
compares to Jesus. Can we lift up the name of Jesus all over this place? Come on, he's beyond compare. There's nobody like him. There's nobody beside him. He's wonderful. He's almighty. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. Come on, we got a few more seconds to lift up Jesus right now. We got time. This is why we're here. We're here to glorify him. We're here to lift him up. We're here to call upon the name of Jesus. God, we exalt you in this place. God, inhabit the praises of your people. God, settle here. God, enter into this place. We thank you, Lord. God, we thank you, Lord, for what we felt in this place. We thank you, God. We know that you're in this room. You're here to do something today. We give you glory. We give you honor. Amen. Amen. He's wonderful. My God is wonderful. Whatever you need him to be today, he is. What if you came in just needing just a hug? God's here to give you a hug. If you came in here today and you needed a financial miracle, God's here to do a miracle in your life. If you need a healing, God wants to do anything. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. He's in this room. He's in this place. And as we turn our attention to Scripture, I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of the Word. I want that to be in your mind. And whatever you need him to do, he's here to do something new. Even if you've never seen it done before, even if it looks like there's no way on earth God could do this, whatever your this is, God says, I'm here to do a new thing. You've had the old thing, but I'm here to do something new in somebody's life today. Reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. Verse 11 reads, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. In the NLT, verse 12 says, are we commending ourselves again? No, but we're giving you a reason to be proud of us, so you can answer those who brag about having a spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart. It's more about the heart than the appearance. I don't want to get up here today. I don't want you to come and worship and look like everything's okay. What matters is the heart. That's what Paul's trying to tell us. What matters is our heart. Verse 13, it reads, whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. Whether we be sober, it is for your cause. The love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we were all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Verse 17, the last scripture, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. I want to speak to us for just a few moments this morning, this afternoon, wherever we may be at and during the day. But behold, I make all things new. Why don't we put our phones down, put our Bibles down, and one more time, let's just call upon Jesus and ask him to have his way here. Almighty Savior, the Holy One, God Almighty, sit it on the throne. God, I pray that you would turn your attention upon this church, upon the body of your believers, God, and you would visit this place. Let your presence be made manifest here, God. We want an outpouring of your Spirit, God, not my words, but thy words, oh God. I pray you'd speak to us. Use me, God, as a conduit that you will work through in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. You may be seated. New. We as an American society, we have an obsession with new. It's all we know. It's what we run into day in and day out. A new phone. You have to get the newest phone. And I just saw release this week. It was leaked that Apple has a brand new iPhone coming out in September. To nobody's surprise, a new iPhone coming. Oh, had no clue that that would be coming down the pipe. And you know they have to have a new one, and it's going to be probably 2 centimeters wider and have 6 gigawatts of memory that makes it better and faster, and an extra megapixel for a camera. And so we will flock to the Apple store. We will go into debt to get that new phone because we have to get new. We have an obsession with a new car, with new clothes. These old rags, you want me to go to Youth Congress wearing this? There's 37,000 people going to be there, and they can't see me looking like this. Heaven forbid. So we have to get new clothes, and we talk at work or with our family. Did you see the new show, the new TV show that came out? Oh, it's got all the drama, the suspense, the comedy. Oh, it's new. You got to see it. It's that old stuff, outdated. The new movie that comes out, that new Lion King. Oh, that's a movie. Nothing like the old Lion King. Nothing, I'm sure. It's new. You got to see that. And we have an obsession with new. And if you found yourself like me, probably relatable, very cliched discussion, but you're at the grocery store, you're checking out, and you're putting all 38 things, all 38 boxes of ramen noodles onto the conveyor belt, and you just happen to look to the right. You're thinking about a pack of gum. My breath kind of smells. And so I'm looking for gum, and I look down, and I see on the cover of the magazine, 26 new ways to comb your dog's hair. And you think, 26? I only know 7. How could I be combing my dog's hair? And these new ways, I got to get it. Or you see 19 stretches to grow taller. And I think to myself, I only know the 16 stretches. I've been doing the 16. So I buy the magazine, I flip it open, I turn to page 7, and I read, if you've been doing the 16 old stretches, you've actually been growing shorter. I have to learn these new ones. I want to grow tall. And so we get obsessed with the new. We have to see new, and we're inundated with new information. We're now in the 24-hour news cycle where if you miss a day, you guys went on vacation, you were out of the country, you were unplugged, you have no clue what's going on. I mean, so much has changed, but really nothing has changed. But society wants to tell you if you unplug for a day, you'll miss everything. You'll be so disconnected. And our social media is geared towards that. Our phones are geared towards that. They've studied and they say on average, the average person, they check their phone every 11 minutes. They unlock their phone and have to get in. Or to the tune of 80 times a day, people check their phones. I know some of you are sitting here thinking, 80 times a day? That's crazy. There's no way. I'm like 20. While others are in here sitting here saying, 80 times a day? There's no way. I'm like 160. 80? Are you nuts? That's on a bad day. That's when my phone's been dead half the day. But apps, they even understand the psyche behind. And we are chemically driven to new. And they will set up push notifications. And we all probably get them where we get a buzz. And we think, I have to check. What is that? Oh, even though I'm in church, I have to check and I have to see because it's important. It's something new. And it's probably just the weather telling you, well, it could rain this afternoon. Oh, thank goodness I knew the new update. But we're just geared towards the new. And the stern reality is that everything new has a shelf life. Everything new. This phone, it's already outdated. They are coming out with they've already come out with a new phone since I got my new phone. Everything will become outdated. You get a brand new TV, and surely that will be outdated. You get a brand new laptop, it will be outdated. You get a brand new suit, and it looks good. The lapels are right. The tie looks perfect with it. And then all of a sudden, you look in the closet at that suit after 2 years, and you think, I thought that was good. Ugh, look at the pants. Look at the sleeve. Oh, we just pick it apart, and I have to get new. Styles just come and go, and we have to get new. Even some relationships, other than your close family and friends, other than those that are going to be with you through it all, those grow stale. You transition in life. You grow a family. They move away. Just the people that you thought, I'm never going to leave you. I had a best friend in elementary school. We had plans. We were going to marry sisters. We were going to have matching mansions, and we were going to have Rottweilers. Don't know why that was the dream, but man, that was the dream in fifth grade. Now other than Facebook, I haven't seen the guy in 15, 20 years. And at the time, we're never leaving each other, but it grew stale. We moved away, and it happens. The natural progression of life is to age, is to grow old, is to see staleness. And that's just the reality that we deal with. Everything we come into contact with is temporary. Everything we come into contact with has an end date. Eventually, my iPad this weekend, it's older, and I was trying to update my sermon, and my wife can attest, it would not update, and I was furious, and I had to download a new update, and then I got the notice, your iPad no longer supports this version. Like, oh, you did yesterday, but you're not doing it today? Huh, okay, good news for me. Everything just will eventually run out. Everything besides God. Everything besides God. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus never will get old. Living for the Lord will never get old. God will never get old. God doesn't get outdated. God doesn't become out of style. He doesn't move into a different phase of life where now he doesn't do the things that he used to, and that was the younger God, that was the younger Jesus. No, God is the same. The God that walked the earth, Jesus that walked the earth 2,000 years ago, is walking the pews and walking the aisles of this church. God does never get old. God doesn't become outdated. God is something new that never will age. It's never going to spoil. God's word is never going to spoil. God's word is never going to become outdated. His mercy, won't run out of style. Lamentations, we know the scripture well. 3 verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. He has new mercies. New mercies every morning before your feet touch the ground. God's got something new for you. He's got new mercies. He's got new grace. He's got new favor. He's got new joy. God's got something new for you every day. Every day. We have to turn our obsession with the newness of the things of the world and turn it to an obsession with the newness of Jesus. We need the new things of Jesus. We need a new revelation of who Jesus is. This world, their revelation of Jesus is a prophet that walked the earth 2,000 years ago and died. Maybe some will believe he raised again. Maybe some won't. That's their revelation. My revelation of Jesus is that he is alive today. That he is walking. He is moving in your lives. Whatever you need him to be, he is able to reach, to touch. We need a new revelation of Jesus Christ. Not what the world says Jesus is, but what each and every one of us know him to be. You need your own revelation. It's not enough for Brother Wells to have a revelation. It's not enough for Brother Davis to have a revelation. You need a new revelation of who Jesus is in your life. See, Jesus can be different things to different people at different times. Because like I spoke today in the Sunday school, only he can complete you. Maybe you can find a familial bond with a loved one or with a family member. But God, maybe that can fill that hole. But there's other holes in your life that only Jesus can fill. You need to find that in your life. We should obsess to have a new desire to be full and overflowing with the Holy Ghost. We can't be satisfied to come in on a Sunday morning, come to an altar call, spend 5, maybe 10 minutes speaking in tongues. Maybe we'll go pray for our brother and sister, and we'll walk out of here, and that's the only revelation of the Holy Ghost we have in our life. That's not enough. That's not enough. We cannot be Sunday to Sunday Christians. We need to be overflowing, full of the Holy Ghost. So full of the Holy Ghost that the neighbors, whenever they drive past this church, they feel a tug. There should be a pull in the Holy Ghost that they say, I don't know what that is. I don't know what's going on in that building, but I want some of that. I want that Holy Ghost. It should be flowing through, out the doors, out the windows, reaching this city. We got to be full of the Holy Ghost. I'm not satisfied to be just barely enough. Too long have I lived my life to just dip my toe in the water of the Holy Ghost. Just, oh, it feels all right. That's good. I'll see you again on Sunday. No, I choose to get up to my knees. I want to get up to my waist. I want to experience everything God has for me. I want all the Holy Ghost. We should have a new obsession, a new burden for souls. Our goal, our mission, what God has sent us here to do is to reach the lost. We need a new burden for the souls. Pray, God, give me a new burden for my co-workers. God has put you into a place, into a job, into a school, into a family. You are the only people that can reach. Brother Wells, he couldn't go to work with you. He couldn't be there. He would support you, but he wasn't able to do that. But it's your world. God has put you in charge of them. God has given you the burden for those souls. And we have to take that. We have to be owners of that. God has given you a specific field that he wants you to harvest. I can't harvest. Brother Kellum can't harvest. It's not our job. We have our own fields. We have our own stuff to take care of. But God, give us a new burden for souls. But in order for us to be a new creature, some old things have to pass away. There's some old things that we got to get rid of. There's, Brother Kellum, just allow me. I guess I'm feeling really comfortable right now. I'm going to borrow your jacket. I'm way too comfortable in this moment. But just go with me. Allow me to do a little costume change. We get to a place where I had the new, and it felt pretty good. We go back to our closet. And we start digging around and looking for things. And no one made us. Maybe it's the enemy kind of whispering in your ear. Remember how good it used to be. Remember the things you used to do. Wasn't that fun? Wasn't that enjoyable? Or do you really have to abide by all these rules, all these things? And we start to dig through our closet. And we see something. Oh, I remember this. I wonder, it might still fit. I don't know. We're about to see, Brother Kellum. Fits like a charm. But we do. We see. And we start to think, well, maybe this new wasn't really that great. Look how well. Oh, there's a $20 bill in this pocket. Oh, there's a reason I kept. I'm so glad I didn't give this away. I'm so glad I didn't get rid of this. And God delivers us from these things, and we find ourselves entertaining the old. Fashion is cyclical, of course, you know. It's maybe this will be back in style for me. And so we start to look at some things that really the old things were passed away. They were cast away. We were a new creature, but we've opened the door to some old things that we weren't supposed to open. There's some things that we as a body of Christ, we have to be okay. We have to want to bury at this altar and never pick it up again. We've got to bury our prideful nature. We are nothing. I am nothing. You are nothing but God's chosen creature. We are a servant of the Almighty. I don't get up here and hold a microphone to exalt Titus. I'm here to exalt the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We got to bury our pride. We got to bury our sinful nature. God has called us out of some things. God has pulled us away from some things. He has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Not that so you should hold on to it, but the scripture goes on that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. We got to show forth the praises of what God has called us out of. Why, and I understand it happens, but why do we want to go back living like the world? God has made us a new creature. Why do we put on these old robes? This old man, he's been cast away. God has made us a new creature. God sees it as a new creature, but yet we sometimes open the door to some things. We've all been guilty, but God wants to bring us out of some things. And not just bring you out. God wants to slam the door shut, lock it, throw away the key, and never let you back into there. God's delivered some people in this church from some things. Heaven forbid if we open the door back up. If God has brought you through the spirit of fear, I felt this as I was preparing for this over the last week or so. And I don't know if this is for anybody, but I felt this. But if God has brought you through the spirit of fear, leave it. It's not God's will. It is not the will of God for you to be afraid, fearful. I understand you have bills that are due. I understand that your family's not where it should be. But I also understand that the Almighty has stepped in and He is taking care of you. And it is not His will for you to be afraid. It's not His will for you to be anxious. It is not His will for you to worry. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's what God has. It's not God's will for you to be afraid. Paul writes in Colossians 2, verse 11, it says, "In him also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. You're buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And you," someone needs to hear this, I need to hear this, "and I," and we, "and us," and "you," it says, "being dead in your trespasses," or "being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh." We were dead in our sins. We were living in sins, and we were dead in the trespasses of our sins. "The uncircumcision of our flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you in all trespasses." He's forgiven you. It says he's blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he took it out of the way, and he nailed it to his cross. We were dead in sin. How many can say here today, "I was dead in sin, but God, he called me out"? The devil wants to take those ordinances, those trespasses, those things that were against you, those things that you used to be, and he likes to pull out his notebook, and he keeps excellent notes on you. Don't think that the devil's been lazy about you. He's been watching you. He is watching you, and he's got notes back as far as he can go. He saw. Oh, let me pull this up. Oh, Brother Peterson. Ooh. And you were 12 years old. Oh, look what happened here. And oh, Brother Tom, when you were 16, I see this. Oh, Sister Connie, I see it right here. There's actually a lot here, Sister Connie. Kidding. But the devil, he wants to go through his list and start to chirp in your ear about what the old man used to be, about what the old Titus dealt with, what the old Titus was up against. And he takes his list. He takes his list and he starts reading it off, and we get over here and we start to think, maybe I didn't bury that in baptism. Maybe that old, I don't know, I did do that when I was 16, and actually even last week I struggled with that. And we start to allow the devil to begin to tell lies into our ear that, "Are you really a new creature? Really? Is the old man really passed away? Really? Have you really forgotten all those things?" And we start to worry and we start to fear. But we need to hear what Paul wrote. What Jesus did is he took those things. He came, he stole those old things away from the devil. He took every bad thing that you've done. And the scripture says he took it and he nailed it to the cross. He nailed it to the cross. So therefore, you are a new creature. These old things, these old shrouds, this old man, he nailed to a cross on Calvary. It's been buried in baptism. You don't have to be that old person any longer. God has called you out. He has given you some new things. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. This old man, this junk that's in the closet, this junk that you hold on to, God said, I am nailing it to the cross on Calvary. When I go to the cross, it is for the remission of your sins. It is so that you can receive salvation. It is so that you can walk in the newness of life. God chose, He chose to do that. It says, buried in baptism. When you bury something, you don't dig it back up again. What you've buried in this altar, it stays in the altar. There is newness. When you leave the altar, there is newness in your life. God's got something new for you. Too often, we just hang it in the closet and we say, I might need that later. You will never need it again. You will never need your pride again. You will never need lust again. You will never need anger again. You will never need fear again. Because God's got something new in your life. God wants to do something new. And it's really a nice jacket, Brother Callum. I didn't mean to call it sin and anger. You feel free to continue wearing that. Nobody judge him when he puts that on after service. But God wants to do new things in your life. It's what he's desiring to do. He comes at you and he says, remember that old thing that you used to be? Remember that? Remember the old? You can just turn to him and say, no, I don't. God doesn't. God doesn't remember the old thing. He's been cast away. Devil, you got the wrong guy. You see, I've been buried in baptism. You see, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm a new creature. Wrong guy, devil. Move on down the line. You got the wrong number. Sorry about that. Colossians 3, verse 9. It says, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. You've taken it off. You've cast it off. And lie not one to another. You've put off the old man's deeds. And then the scripture says, you've put on the new man. You got rid of the old. You put on the new man.
Maybe a lot of times it's like this sometimes. It's a struggle. But once you get there,
you put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that hath created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and end all. Whether you're new, whether you're renewed, whether you're black, whether you're white, whether you're man, whether you're woman, whether you're young, whether you're old, none of that matters. The only thing that matters, the only thing that matters is Christ is all and in all. One of these days when that trump sounds, it won't matter what you look like. It won't matter what you dress like. It won't matter who you were married to, who you weren't. None of that matters. We got bigger things going on. We're going to be in heaven's pearly gates. We're going to be walking in streets of gold. The only thing that matters is Christ in us all. Christ is all. That doesn't mean that we don't struggle. That doesn't mean we are pressing towards the mark. We haven't achieved it yet. And I understand that we all go through life. This isn't all butterflies and rainbows. I wish that it were sometimes, but actually I really don't, because it's the storm clouds that make me turn to Jesus. And if it truly was butterflies and rainbows, if life was truly easy, we wouldn't have need for God, and we probably wouldn't be thankful for God. So I'm thankful for when I go through some things, because that's just my eyes turning towards Jesus. That's just redirecting me. And so I am glad that life isn't perfect sometimes. And maybe you came today and you're feeling pretty beat up. You're feeling just abused. Life has a way of just one thing after another. And you think you got this thing taken care of, and you just get kicked again, and then maybe an elbow this time. And life has a way of beating you up. And maybe that's where you are today. But I got good news. God has new strength for you. If you're weak, if you're just barely hanging on, you're in the right place. Not only is the body of Christ here, but God's got a new strength for you today. Maybe you've tripped up. Maybe you've fallen. Maybe you're not exactly where you should be, and only you know that. And I'm not trying to call anybody out, but maybe you find yourself in that situation. But I got good news. God's got new grace for you today. He's got a brand new batch of mercy. He's been baking and cooking this stew of mercy, and it smells good. It smells ripe. And I don't really know the analogy I'm going with here, but he's got something so special. He just sees all of his mercy, and I feel like he's talking to his angels, saying, I can't wait for tomorrow. Look at all this brand new mercy. Oh, it's so fresh, just out of the box mercy. I'm going to give it to my children. I love them so much. I died on the cross for them, and I desire for them to have a new mercy today. And then tomorrow, I got good news. There's new mercy tomorrow for you. Maybe you come into this place struggling with fear or with doubt. God's got a brand new batch of peace for you. It's not like yesterday's peace. Yesterday's peace got you through, and we're thankful for that. But tomorrow's peace, it's even better than yesterday's peace. Because every day with Jesus is new. Everything is new. Everything is new with Jesus. It doesn't get old. It doesn't get outdated. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 and 17. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man may perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. But for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Though your outward man may perish, and your outward man is going to perish, you're going to have aches, you're going to have ails, you're going to perish. Spoiler alert. It's going to happen. But though that outward man may perish, the scripture says the inward man is renewed day by day. Though it's hard, though it's difficult, though you're broken, though life's not easy, your inward man is renewed day by day. So as you walk, as you struggle, as you give everything you got, you get to 10 p.m., you crawl into your bed, and you don't know how you're going to make it. You wake up the next morning, and I picture, this may be childish, but I picture God as a child. If a child's ever given you a gift, I have three nieces that anytime I have a birthday or Christmas, they're so excited to give me a birthday gift. We don't even wait till it's time to open presents. It's open it. Would you please open it? And so you open it, and it's maybe a card that they wrote, and it's my name spelled wrong, it's something in my mind insignificant perhaps, but to them, it's this great thing, and they're so excited. They want to see your face. And, do you love it? And yes, I love it. I feel like God some mornings, and again, I hear me when I say this. I don't mean to child-ize God, but I picture God just anxious for us to get up in the morning. Oh, their alarm clock went off. Oh, they're going to snooze. Okay. The alarm clock. Snooze one more time. All right. Monday morning. I get it. They had a long weekend. But then when you wake up, I just picture God is standing there, and he's got all these new things for you every day, and he's saying, I cannot wait. God cannot wait to be new to you. If you would just turn your attention every day and say, God, do a new thing, I believe God would be doing backflips. Oh, thank you, my child. Thank you for allowing me to give you a new thing. I have all these good gifts for you. I have all these good blessings that I've been dying to pour out to you. Just turn your attention to me. Allow your inward man to be renewed. Allow it to be renewed. Your family, your coworkers, the people around you, they may look at you and say, how? I know you got a bad life. I've seen the troubles you go through. How are you still encouraged? And you can turn to them and say, yeah, my outward man may perish. Maybe I don't have any money in the bank and I had to ride my bicycle to get to work. But my inward man, God's restored some things. God's fixed some things. God's given me a love that only comes from Jesus. That peace that only comes from Jesus. That's what God wants to do day by day. And I believe he wants to do that in this place. If we could all stand as we close. I truly believe God has something new for somebody today. I don't know what it is, and the tremendous thing about serving our Almighty God is it doesn't matter what it is. He is able to give you that new thing. Nothing you could bring to God would he say, all right, I'm gonna have to think about how to fix this one. Ooh, this is tough. God's not stumped. God, the thing is, before you got into what you're facing, God already saw it, and he already saw the way out. He's waiting for you to turn to him so he can fix it for you. God isn't surprised by what you find today. The last scripture I'll read is Revelation 21 and verse 1. It says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. They shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. And verse 4, a verse we should hold on to. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Those former things, those old things, those old struggles, those old trials have been passed away. And he says in verse 5, he sat upon the throne and said, Behold, I make all things new. Those old, the sorrow, the hurt, the pain, the death, the struggles, they've been passed away. And behold, I make all things new. He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. He said unto me, It is done. Imagine what that day is going to be like, where God Almighty sits at heaven. And I talked last Sunday about your book not being finished yet. God's still writing. He has the ink pen, and he is looking at all of creation, and he says, It's done. And he takes a pen, and he puts a period, and closes the book. Everything, all the temporary, as Paul said, the light affliction is momentary. Everything that you're up against, everything, we're going to get to a place where he says, It is done. You don't have to carry those things any longer. He goes on to say, I am Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I'm the baddest one, is what he's saying. I am the King of Kings. I am in control and on the throne. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely, and he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. That last verse, he that overcometh shall inherit all of this. You're in a place where you're struggling, but God's saying, if you'll just hold on, if you'll just overcome, and the way you overcome is being renewed day by day. I'm not promising that you leave here and you're never going to have a problem, you're never going to have an issue. It's not what the scripture says. The outward man may perish. Those things are going to happen. But I can promise you that if you choose to be renewed day by day, God is going to be with you. God is going to be strengthening you. God is going to be encouraging you today. I believe he's got some new things today. There's a renewed walk for somebody. Somebody whose walk has gone to the wayside. God's got a new walk. I believe there's a new calling for somebody. Maybe the Lord's been calling you to do something for him, and you've put it aside. You said, yeah, but when I get older, or when I get smarter, or when I get more money, or when I get whatever. God's saying, no, I want to do a new thing. There's a new anointing I want to pour out upon your life. God's telling somebody today, I got new love for you. I got new peace for you. I got something brand new for you. God wants to do something new in this place. I believe it. I believe it. Why don't we just, right where we're at, I just think God wants it. Let's just open up our mouth. Let's lift up our hands. God, we believe that you're here. God, we believe, God, you've been here from Sunday school all the way through worship, through prayer. You're desiring to do something. I pray a new thing would be done in this place. God, I pray that you would move and minister. In the name of Jesus. 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 God, do something new today. God, let there be a renewal. Jesus' name. again, I don't know the customs of this church, but I'm going to open up the altar, and I'm inviting everybody to come. I think God's trying to move in this place. I don't know what your need is. I don't know if you even have a need, but just come. There's a new anointing that God wants to pour out. There's something fresh in your life. Just come before right now. Open up your heart. God, I pray, Lord, that the Alpha and the Omega would turn his attention here. God, say it is so. God, behold, you're making all things new in this place. God, do something in the supernatural. I pray that, God, your love would sweep through this place. God, your holiness, God, your peace would sweep through this place right now. Come on, church, begin to reach out to him. Begin to call upon the Almighty right now. God's trying to do something. God wants to do something in the supernatural. God, we need you. Cry out to him. Cry out to him. That's it. Oh, come on, church. Come on, church. Only you know the new thing that you need today. Only you have walked where you've walked. Maybe it's a new thing in your family. Maybe it's a new thing in your children. God, do something new in my children today. God, they're not living for you right now, but God, I pray a new calling, a new tug upon their heart. God, let a new thing go forth. I pray in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That's it. Come on. Let's push a little bit. Come on. We got time for what God wants to do. If you don't have a need right now, why don't you find somebody? Why don't we bind together with somebody as the body of Christ? Let's encourage each other. Oh, God's got new blessings. God's got new blessings. Oh, he's got a renewed love for you. Oh, God. Minister right now. Pour out your Holy Ghost. Pour out your Spirit. God, we want to see victory. God, let there be a new victory over some addiction, over some bonds, God. Let there be a new breakthrough today. Hallelujah. Thank you.
there's some new liberty. Why don't we entertain that today, God? Chains of bondage are being broken right now. God, there's new victory. God, I hear those chains, God, that used to hold me back before. God, they're breaking those chains. Oh, God, there's something new for me today. Hallelujah. Let's just lift up our hands. The presence of the Almighty has visited this place. He's done some new things. He's done some new things. God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
I don't mean to linger, and I don't want to draw past the line of being inappropriate, and especially with the scenario we find ourselves in. But I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel God's presence in this place. God wants to do something just more than what you could even imagine. He's got something, the new thing he's got. Oh, you've never seen something like what God has for you. You think it's been good before. Oh, but God's got something brand new in your life. He's got something pure in your life. He's got a new love and a new purpose for your life. Amen. Amen. And the good news is, it gets better tomorrow. Brother Davis, it gets better tomorrow. The new thing God has for you is better tomorrow than it was today. It just gets better and better. Amen.
I think we'd be remiss if we didn't lift our hands one more time and just thank God for his goodness. Thank you for your word. Give a confirmation in your spirit. Thank you for speaking to us. humbled by your presence, God. Stand in awe of your voice, God. Still speaks to your children. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You're so wonderful, God. You're so good. I applaud you, God.